This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So we rarely carry a topic over past the top of the hour, but this one is very interesting, tragic, horrible.
Important.
Yeah. And one of the women involved, Lila Kubis, contacted us late in the 3 o'clock hour and said she'd be willing to join us on the air. If you're just joining us, it's a story from Fox 4, but I believe the story originally generated from the Kansas City Star, where they're talking about this massage parlor at 129th and State Line Road in Kansas City, Missouri, Fusion Spa. And last hour we spoke with Wes Shumate, who is the attorney representing six of the women who sought civil litigation against Fusion Spa and this therapist, massage therapist, unlicensed, we believe, Ju Jin Jang. And he has been charged in Jackson County with two counts of second-degree sodomy. He has been arrested. He remains in bond because of he missed a hearing, apparently. And Lila Kubis joins us on the KMBZ hotline. Dana referred to her last hour, and I think it would be hard to argue, as a hero. Lila, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course.
So I lived over there many years, Lila, and you're my daughter's age and drove by that place so many times, and my heart just broke when I read this story, and then I just got really, really angry. And I commend you for your bravery coming forward. Your assault happened while your mother was right outside the space where this happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sorry that this happened to you, but I'm so proud of you for coming forward and talking about it so that hopefully he goes away for a very long time. And this place is shut down. I'm demanding they go in and shut this place down. I'm livid for you. It is still open.
Thank you so much. I feel the same way every day. Is just like so much anger about the situation. But I do appreciate the support. I've received so much support today, and that has made it all worth it coming forward and talking about it. And yeah, thank you.
Have you been given any indication, Lila, like why did this take so long? You know, blame is not going to change what happened to you and the other women, but your report, it was 2.5 years ago, was it not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was 2.5 years ago, May 30th, 2022.
But I would imagine, and to Dana's point, it took a lot of courage to do what you and this other young lady, let me get her name real quick, Natasha Culp. She was the one who was in the room for a couples massage with her fiance. It takes great courage to do what you did, but having done it, it makes it a lot easier, I think, for others to be willing to come forward and say, you know what, if they can do it, if they can speak their truth, I can speak mine too.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it has been wild today. There have been already so many girls who have reached out to me and just shared how they've been through similar experiences and how this helps them feel more at peace and that they feel more comfortable talking about it. And that was my intention fully with coming out with this. It's not easy to come out with something like this and expose it for the whole world or whoever sees it, you know, and just knowing that I could possibly help someone feel more comfortable with themselves and feel more at ease about something that happened to them is the whole point.
Do you have any indication, though, Lila, why there was such mm-hmm. a delay? And again, blame is not going to solve or fix what happened, but I feel like, God forbid this happens again, I want someone mm-hmm. rushing in there and shutting this place down, and that just did not happen here.
No, not at all. It was, for the reason it took so long, so the very first detective I talked to, he did the case, and I had to speak with him about the whole thing. I had to give details about everything. I had to do the police lineup with him. And then about a year after I reported it and had gone through all that, he contacted me, or it might have been a she at that time, and then it went to a he. Honestly, it's hard to keep track because yeah. it's been so tossed around and everything. But he transferred me to the other detective who I had to do the whole process again with and get reminded of it. I had to drive back from college every few months and have to relive this and then just drive back and act like everything was normal. So I didn't really understand why they had to do that. And then I kind of didn't hear much about it at all after December 2023, I believe. And I just kind of gave up on it and I don't know, just hope someday something would happen. But yeah, they wouldn't really give me much yeah. information on it. So, yeah.
I found it interesting that you would park in the parking lot when it would cross your mind again. And I'm sure it stayed in your mind mm-hmm. quite often. But you would yeah. you would drive over there just to see if it was still open and you would park your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, typically I would just drive by. There were only a few times where I'd gone and parked my car. I had even gone in two times before I actually confronted the owner. I went in and nobody was in the lobby at that point, and I just kind of turned around and left really quick. But my Nana actually lives right across the street in the neighborhood across the street from the massage parlor. So every time I would drive to her house, I would drive by it and yeah, there were other times where, like, my friends wanted to go eat at the Peanut right next door.
Right.
And I would just have to drive by it and kind of have to be reminded of that. But
well, I'll tell you yeah. this, Lila. The wheels of justice are, it's just unconscionable how long this has taken. But we have a mm-hmm. voice and we are able to reach a whole lot of people in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. It will be you. I will not let this go until that place is shut down. I'm so angry for mm-hmm. all of the women, and it's not going to be six. Mm-hmm. We know that there are going to be more, you know, and please keep us posted on the case. I told your attorney West the same thing. We're not going to let this go.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All the support
Lila,
really makes it a lot easier.
One last question. You said earlier in this interview that all day today, you've been contacted by other women who have had similar incidents happen to them. Mm-hmm. Did they tell you that it was at this spa specifically, or was it just at other spas throughout the Kansas City metro?
Not even just in spas, just people who have had, like, sexual assaults happen to them just speak up to kind of, connect with
yeah,
me
sure.
and just, I don't know, feel less alone and just share kind of their story, too, and feel more comfortable with themselves. So it hasn't just been spa places, but there has been one who was at a spa, I believe, and it might have been the same owners, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Well, Lila, you keep us posted, and we're proud of you. We're so sorry this happened, but proud of you for coming forward, because I think you're going to end up saving other women from the same fate.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. You be well, sweetheart.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Goodbye. That's Lila Kubis, featured in this story in the Kansas City Star. And on Fox 4, she is Dana Wright. That young man is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So, you know, in these United States, there's a study on just about everything. and anything.
No, boy.
They have done a study on the states with the nosiest neighbors.
Oh! How do they study that? Okay.
The Wilsons.
Yeah. So you might ask. I have an answer. Here's what nosy neighbors do. These are the things that they checked on. The number one thing that a nosy neighbor will do is ask lots of questions.
Of course.
Number two, they will stare at you from afar.
Through that picture window in the front of the living room?
They will gossip to you about the other neighbors.
And to them about you.
They will show up at your home unannounced. They will ask about your visitors. Well, I had Mrs. Nunya Business come over and Mr. Nunya Business.
I saw a car in your driveway the other day, Scott, that I, you know, I didn't recognize. Who was that?
Oh, that's so weird.
They'll peek over the fence.
Wilson.
They'll invite themselves over. And they'll introduce themselves to your guests.
No!
Okay. Would you care to guess? Let's go in reverse order here. You want to do top 10 or top 5?
Let's do top 10.
Okay, top 10. The 10th nosiest state in the union is New Jersey. Number 9 is Nevada. Number 8 is West Virginia. Number 7 is Alabama.
It's all over the board.
All over the map, literally and figuratively. Number 6 is Ohio. Number 5, Louisiana. Number 4, New Mexico. Number 3, Missouri.
No way.
Number 3 is the show me state. You better show me who came over last night.
You better show me what you're doing in there. Wait, don't do that.
Number 2, the Jayhawk state. Kansas comes in at number 2. And number 1 is the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Why are we in the top 3?
So on the nosiness score, and the max is 100, Kansas comes in at 96.48.
Dang.
And Missouri comes in at 96.22.
What does a nosy neighbor do, you might ask? The text line says, unhook your hose.
No.
Boom.
Uh-uh.
And stay down.
That's a friendly neighbor.
Oh, I'm going to go with that's
friendliest
nosy.
Neighbor.
Where do we draw the line?
I've got a throwback.
The least nosy?
Yep.
Connecticut.
Boom. I've got a throwback name for all of you that are probably our age or a little bit older. When was the last time you heard the name Tatum O'Neill or Ryan O'Neill?
When one of them died?
Of Hollywood fame. I love these stories. Tatum O'Neill is sharing her reaction to her late dad, Ryan O'Neill's, cutting her out of his will.
Well, what
Tatum, who starred opposite her famous dad in the hit 1973 film Paper Moon, said that while she was initially devastated to learn that her name was not listed in her dad's will, her perspective has since shifted. The Oscar winner, who is now 61, told Variety of her would-have-been inheritance. Keep it, you blank. Tatum left no stone unturned on her rocky relationship with her father in a 2004 memoir entitled A Paper Life. She eviscerated her dad in that book, claiming he had been abusive to her, his love interest, as well as to others, but also made it clear she still loved him.
And she was surprised that she wasn't in the will?
Ryan died in 2023.
No wonder he wrote her. I just looked at when did he die, because I knew it was recent. So for 20 years, 19 years, he had to live with those allegations about him in her book. I would have written her out of the will, too.
Now, she maybe he was a horrible father.
Yeah,
maybe he was.
Yeah. She says she believes that her book was the reason her name was left out of the will.
Well, if you wrote, if one of my daughters wrote a book and alleged things like that, I'd write them out of my will, too. So, Sarah Maya, don't go writing no book.
Dang. He left behind a $30 million estate, by the way. Wow.
Okay. Speaking of actors, there is new information in the very mysterious, I almost said murder, deaths of Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy, and one of their dogs. We don't know when they died, but they were discovered deceased yesterday. And the news broke overnight around 3 o'clock in the morning because I had just woken up and turned on the TV news for a minute. They were found yesterday during a welfare check. There are no obvious signs of how they died. However, authorities now say their deaths were suspicious enough to require a thorough search and investigation due to, quote, all the circumstances surrounding the scene.
Yeah.
What might those be? Arakawa, his wife, Betsy, was found lying on her side in the floor of the bathroom, surrounded by pills. He was found, by the way, Gene Hackman, in a mudroom. There was about a 30-year age difference between them. Her body showed signs of decomposition. There was mummification to her hands and to her feet.
Read that. They had not been dead 24 hours. This is going Sam, we think a couple of weeks.
The reports were that they had not been seen out in public by any of their neighbors, anybody, for 3 weeks.
All right, how long do you go?
Let me get one more update.
I still can't. Like, what?
They had three dogs on the property. Two of them were alive. One was dead. One that was dead was in a kennel.
Oh, he's kenneled. That's heartbreaking.
Had no way to get out.
One was found laying next to her. The other was found roaming around the front lawn.
So, you know, we sort of danced around this the first hour of the program. How long would you go? Or would one of your loved ones go, like, where you have not had contact with them, where you start thinking something could be very wrong? Like, I don't talk to my mom and dad every single day, probably every other day in some form of communication. Like, I'll get a DM from my mom or a text or I will call.
Yeah, I probably talk to my mom twice a week. I talk to my daughters almost every day. But not every day. And normally I'm calling my mom just to say hello and check in. But if it's been, like yesterday I called her and it had been 5 days since we last spoke. So partly I was calling her just to check in and say hello.
Yeah.
But like I was honest with her. I said, the other reason for my calls, I just want to make sure you're vertical.
You know, and he was 95 at the time of death and has at least a daughter and some grandchildren. They've released a statement. It's just, if this is going to be 2 to 3 weeks, you start to wonder, like, doesn't that seem like a long time without someone checking in?
Yes. And I might point out two maintenance workers who worked on the property said it had been 2 weeks since they last saw them.
Yeah.
Really, text line?
Man.
What did the text line say?
No, do not. He is a titan.
What are you
guys
doing in there?
Was a good.
I was telling her something off the air. Show related.
Was a good human, and you know he lived a long life, dead at age 95. But what a sad and bizarre way for things to end.
And keep this in mind. And we talked about this in the 2 o'clock hour. I would dare anybody to say that they have not seen multiple Gene Hackman movies.
Well, Hoosiers.
He's in some of the biggest named films of all time. You know, granted, he wasn't in The Godfather or Star Wars or anything like that, but Hoosiers.
He was Lex Luthor.
Superman 1, 2, and 4. The only one he wasn't in was 3.
I have to be honest, the name didn't ring a bell.
Really?
To me, but once I saw a picture of him in his prime, I immediately recognized him.
The Firm with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Crimson Tide with Denzel Washington.
So many others.
Now, I thought he was always at his best when he played a bad guy.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing.
When he played the antagonist or whatever in the movie, he was at his best. Sam, I'm sure you put this in for me. Belly fat is not all that bad, according to a new study. Could actually be good for your brain.
Are you sure about that?
When it comes to brain health, leaner may not be better. In a new study published in the journal Geroscience.
Found on coffee tables everywhere.
I was going to say, the study was also funded by Chips. But go ahead.
Researchers in Japan.
Yum brands.
Found that visceral fat, the deep fat that wraps around your internal organs, plays a critical role in maintaining brain health. But it is a fine line. Having some belly fat has brain benefit. But too much can be dangerous to your health. Really?
I was going to say, so belly fat, good for the brain, but bad for the heart. So if your heart stops, what good is the brain?
Right. Fair point. Okay.
That's why I put it in the stack. So I could be negative, Dana.
9135. You're not following through on your word of the year, which is positivity, Sam. Positivity. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Let's go down to Florida here for a minute. That's where all the weird news comes from anyway.
Always.
A woman is facing charges after Volusia County deputies say she vandalized a car that she thought belonged to her ex-boyfriend, but it was the wrong car.
Whoops.
According to the Sheriff's Department, deputies say they responded to a vandalism call overnight along Gramercy Drive in Deltona about a young woman spray painting a vehicle. When the deputies got there, they found an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old girl. Investigators say the younger girl had yellow spray paint on her sweatpants. When questioned, the 18-year-old...
Boiled by the yellow spray paint!
When questioned, the 18-year-old admitted that she was upset with her ex-boyfriend and decided to spray paint and throw eggs at what she thought was his vehicle. Unfortunately, the vehicle in question belonged to a neighbor, not her ex-boyfriend.
Ooh! They were obviously in a very loving and long relationship when you mistake the car.
The 18-year-old told deputies that her ex-boyfriend owed her roughly $700, which is what spurred the act of vengeance. However, it turns out that the car's actual owner had just parked across the street, leading to the misunderstanding. Damage to the car estimated at $500, and here is a picture of it.
That's only $500 damage? That's an entire new paint job, isn't it?
$5,000 in damage.
Yeah, I was going to say $1,000. Independence Police, you're up, I suppose. They are going to be featured on a new episode of Cops tomorrow. Why is that show still going? Can we just break that down for a moment?
Because people watch awesome. It. Yeah.
No.
Have you never enjoyed watching Cops?
I didn't.
Why are you sweating? I was watching Cops. Cops doesn't come on till 4.
I didn't allow it in the house. There was one day in the kitchen, the kids had it on, and I go, turn that off.
Why?
Because they are exploiting somebody's worst day.
Well, they kind of brought that worst day on themselves.
Without question. I don't know why police departments are so...
Wait a minute. No, wait. This is where you and I are going to have a brief conversation. Don't journalists, especially TV news journalists, exploit people on what's usually their worst day?
While they're being arrested? Are they still going in homes? That was
no,
where
not
I was like,
that
that's
anymore.
Just, don't do that.
It has to be on public property.
Okay.
So,
and
chase somebody down, get them on the sidewalk, whatever. They can no longer go into private property.
They do have to ask consent to use the footage
from... I don't know why anyone would ever consent to being on Cops.
But you missed my point. Journalists do this all the time. We're in courtrooms as somebody's being sentenced to life in prison. I would think that might be the worst day of their life.
But this is just pure, quote, entertainment.
Yeah, it is.
You bet it is.
Oh, my God.
Do you never watch World's Dumbest... You know, fill in the blank. It's always a different word. You know, world's dumbest drivers, world's dumbest joggers, where they show people just being dumb.
I've told you before, I'm not even comfortable in the way that I used to be with watching the, you know, murdertainment stuff anymore. I told you I watched the first episode of that Gabby Petito documentary. It made me so mad I didn't watch the rest of it. And I just don't know. I think we consume in America such an enormous steady diet of that stuff.
Now that I agree with, is far too much.
Who is it benefiting? And it, look, it's, if that's your thing and you want to watch, you know, even like My 600 Pound Life or Hoarders, all of that stuff. And it's all popular. Is it because it makes us feel better? Well, look, I had a bad day. At least I'm not that guy.
I think there's some of that. Yeah, I think there is a portion of the desire to watch that kind of programming being, you know, man, my bedroom is messy, but it ain't that. Or, man, I've gained some weight, but I'm not that. And, you know.
Have you also noticed, and not with cops, but if I'm flipping around, especially with shows like the you know, obesity shows and that stuff is all so scripted now, it's awful. I knew I had to stop with the habits that I was on. So I went and saw the doctor. Have you listened to any of it?
No.
Are scrolling around, Scott,
really,
and it is all, they're being told what to say.
I mean, I've seen My 600 Pound Life. I've seen Hoarders. Hoarders fascinates me because mental health fascinates me and, you know, psychology, et cetera, et cetera. And I think you and I are both of agreement. If you're a hoarder, you clearly have a mental health problem.
How do you see hoarding as mental health, but you don't see gambling as an addiction?
Because with hoarders, you are acquiring material. I'm not even going to say property.
Oh, no.
You're acquiring material to fill a void in your heart and in your head. Something has happened to you, and it's...
But is pulling that slot machine not filling a void in your brain? It's lighting up your happy center?
It might be. Now, is it a compulsive activity? Yes. Is it an addiction? No. I don't believe so. I do think gambling and, you know, excessive overeating or excessive shopping for things you clearly don't need, I do believe that that is a compulsive activity. But to me, and I know that there will be scientists who disagree with me, that's fine. Listen, I've done my research on addiction. To me, there needs to be a physical substance that has you, that gets into your system, that your body feels like if it doesn't have it, you are going to die.
Neuroscientists would argue that physical substance is dopamine in the
brain. I know. But, I mean, there are so many things that release dopamine in your brain. Alcohol, cocaine, sex, shopping for some people, gambling for others. But if you try to quit gambling, do you start shaking uncontrollably?
Depending on how severe the case is, it's all a spectrum. Same thing with other more substance driven addictions.
Did you know that for some people, not all, certainly not all, but for some people, if you're an alcoholic and you quit drinking cold turkey, you can die.
Yeah,
you can die. I would bet that no one has ever died from stopping going to a casino. There's the difference. Nobody's ever said, you know what, I just lost the house and my wife and the kid, everybody's gone. My 401k's trash. I'm not going. 1-800 bets off.
Yeah.
And they never stopped breathing.
See, I think it's all under the same umbrella.
I was going to say, and I've mentioned this in our conversations in the past, I think it's a slap to the face of all of the efforts trying to promote the idea of mental health to say that because your addiction presents more aggressively than mine, that it is not an addiction.
Is a gambling problem a close first cousin to any other addiction to a substance? Yeah, sure it is. Scott, could you quit 80s music? No, I'm addicted to 80s music. That's a legitimate addiction. Of course not.
From the text line, you can't die from opioid withdrawal.
You can come damn close.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to the cops version from the Ozarks. Looking forward to that
come
one.
Come on.
It's coming out this year.
Is that really where they went?
Oh, yeah. There are two police departments in the Ozarks that signed up with A&E. It's not cops, but it's cops adjacent.
It's cops adjacent.
I'm ready for it.
What's it called? What's the show
I'm
going
to have to go look at. Okay.
No, we're good.
Is it Cops Live
we're
or
good.
Something?
Ozark Law.
Ozark Law.
Ozark Law.
That's right. But,
dude, I would do the voice work on that for free. Ozark Law. More perpetrators than teeth.
Now, they specifically did their recording during the summer season because
of course.
Rest of the year you're just...
Well, yeah, because of all the people on their boats.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we get back, a story here from Fox 4. Experts say that Kansas City has a predatory towing problem.
I thought we cracked down on this. We used to be the Wild West. I thought we got better. One national watchdog group says we're not only not better, we are the worst. The worst.
What are you in about?
5 episodes of Ozark Law has already been released.
5?
Yeah, I know what I'm binging tonight.
I mean, don't call me.
It's a Thursday. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Just over 24 hours from right now, we will be doing Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. And don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. It is available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. We don't do this very often, but I will do it this time because this is a sweet one. Dana and Scott, my wife and I will be in Mexico next week for our 20th anniversary. But I know that she is listening right now. Would you be so kind and wish Joanna a happy 20th anniversary and let her know that her husband loves her very much. Thanks in advance, Ryan. Done.
Congratulations, Ryan and Joanna.
Yes.
20 years.
And enjoy your trip to Mexico. It is called predatory towing. Tow trucks take your car, often for questionable reasons, then make it as expensive as possible to get it back. And sometimes you never do. Quoting here from 31-year-old Amani Lewis, a single mother, they stole my vehicle from this parking spot right here. At the time, she was living in an apartment complex in South Kansas City. It was 6 a.m. I was carrying my baby to take her to daycare, and I came outside and my car was gone. Mm-hmm. So I was like freaking out because where's my car? I don't know where my car is. But as she would soon find out, her 2017 Chevy Cruze had been taken by a tow truck from Downtown Towing and Recovery. This story is from Fox 4. I'm just reading their words. Why? Because she was parked in a handicapped spot. Lewis found that the tow company wanted $405 to give her her car back. There was just one problem. When she went to the company's lot, she talked to one of the employees to get her car back. I went to my car and showed her I had a handicap placard in my car, which is what she's saying it was already towed for. In other words, Lewis had not been in violation of the apartment complex's parking rules. So you get in your car, says Fox 4's Malik Jackson. Mm-hmm. You leave? Jackson asks. Yeah, I leave. And you don't pay. No, I don't pay. But little did Lewis know her problems were only beginning. By the way, a group of experts say Kansas City is one of the worst in the nation for predatory towing.
It's called the Public Interest Research Group, like a watchdog group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting in 2021, the organization did a two-part study called Getting Off the Hook of a Predatory Tow. And they examined the issue all across the United States, Scott. What they found was that Missouri, far and away, was the worst for predatory towing. I'm quoting directly here from the watchdog group. We got more complaints about Missouri. On top of that, they took a closer look at the complaints and revealed that within the boundaries of Missouri, the worst place in the state is Kansas City.
Why didn't they, once she said, there's my placard, my handicap placard, why didn't they hand her her keys and say, you know what? You got us. We're sorry. Don't go to Fox 4.
I thought things were getting better. Like, I know that, like, police went from a Wild West model where, you know, we had wreck chasers years ago.
Yeah.
And that was just a disaster.
And then they put everybody on a rotating schedule.
Yeah, you're on a rotating schedule. You have to be licensed. You've got to be, you got to know what you're doing, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I think some of the most predatory towing isn't necessarily right after a wreck. It's you park somewhere downtown, as in this case, and you come out and your car is gone. Well, and with the signage, Sam, didn't you have this happen?
I was just about to say, there are so many different problems with the signage being inaccurate, not very clear. I was downtown on Saturday night for the Sebastian Maniscalco concert, and there were a number of signs that were just missing. I mean, you could tell that it was a pole that was supposed to have some sort of parking sign on it, but the sign's just not there. So if I park there, it doesn't say no parking.
I don't know if they ever did stories about it, but there were long rumors when the now awesome-looking development over here at I-35 and Shawnee Mission Parkway, which almost seems like it went up overnight, but it's now apartments and some retail. Yeah.
The Grand Merriam Station.
Used to be the old empty Kmart. There were longtime rumors that because that was private property and you weren't legally allowed to park there, but people who would commute downtown, right?
Yeah.
They would park there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and their buddy who works in the office who lives, you know, say you lived in Olathe, he lived in Western Shawnee, he'd pick you up there in the parking lot, and you guys would drive downtown together, and it's one less car on the highway. There were rumors that tow trucks would go in there all the time and just tow cars randomly because it was private property. And then you have to figure out where your car is and how much money it's going to cost to get it back.
There are some tows, Channel 4 looked into this, done without notifying local police, which is required, or law enforcement wouldn't be notified until days after the tow. So you just don't know where your car is under that circumstance.
Well, she had an OnStar on her car. That's how she knew where it was.
Some tows had bogus towing permission documents that made it appear that someone from the parking property had requested the car's removal. In other cases, towing companies delayed customers from getting their cars back by claiming a variety of excuses.
She also claims that when she put up a bit of a fight, she started, and she's not saying this came from the tow company, but she started getting threatening messages.
One of them said, "I'm going to turn your car into a refrigerator. I know where you lay your head at night."
Mm-hmm.
That is most certainly a threat.
That is a threat.
Not even perceived.
I didn't say that they were perceived threats. I just said I don't know where the threats came from.
Guess what? A few days later, after she got her car back, it was towed again.
Same reason?
I don't know that she ever got it back, Scott.
913-586-7798. News coming up in 2 minutes with Dan Weinbaum. We'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.